In the film China Prep, Wide Angle follows five students at an elite Chinese high school whose ambitions reflect the ambitions of a changing nation. In this Wide Angle Web exclusive, we'll talk about China's changing economic and political landscape with Professor Andrew Nathan. He's chair of the Department of Political Science at Columbia University and has written extensively on Chinese politics and foreign policy.
The growth of nationalism in China is definitely happening, and you can see it. I think part of Chinese nationalism is pride that China is becoming a modern country and being recognized as a world power. The flip side of China being a great power is the insecurity that other countries look down on us sometimes. Foreign policy is really made by a small group of people in Beijing who keep control over it, and they have a lot of leeway to do what they want to. So right now we see, for example, a thaw between China and Japan, a thaw between China and Taiwan. The government can do those things, but what it can't do, I think, is to be seen to be weak in the face of some sort of foreign insult, because that would really upset a lot of people. So they keep an eye, the policymakers keep an eye over their shoulder at the mood of the public.
How does this generation differ from the Tiananmen Square generation?
At the time of Tiananmen Square, a lot of people had lost faith in the path that China was on. At that time, the feeling was that our system is kind of bankrupted and we need to change it. Well, today the feeling is quite different because China is rich and is growing economically and has international clout. So Chinese are taking their moment in the sun to be proud of their country's achievements. But I don't think that most Chinese really believe that a one-party dictatorship in principle is the ideal model of government. And they may feel that, you know, European countries and the United States and others have more advanced forms of government, more advanced systems of rule of law. There is an underlying sense of inferiority that we're not really seeing nowadays, because people, by and large, are proud of what has been achieved at this point. But if the Chinese system runs into trouble, say inflation or an economic downturn or, you know, some kind of a disaster, then I think you'll see this other side of the Chinese thinking about politics can come out.
Do you think that China will move toward a democracy at some point in the future?
So I would say that in the foreseeable future, in the next few years, I don't see the signs. If China was going to really democratize in the next few years and change in a fundamental way, I think we would be seeing some signs of it now already. We'd be seeing people advocating this. We'd be seeing, you know, gathering storm of discontent with the regime. And I don't see those signs right now. In terms of the very high level of generalization of, is it going to be a one-party dictatorship where the leaders decide on how much freedom the public will be allowed at any point in time? I don't see that changing for quite a while. In the long run, I think most specialists would agree that it's almost inevitable that China will become the largest economy in the world, not on a per capita basis, but on an aggregate basis, because it has the most people in the world. As their GDP per person goes up into even a very moderate level, that economy in the aggregate will be the biggest, and that will give it a huge amount of clout around the world, and manufacturers of everything will be asking themselves, first of all, what is the Chinese taste in this product? And I think in terms of political values, we'll also see that coming down. The Chinese way of doing things will perhaps become a global norm, in the way that the American way of doing things has been a global norm you know, for the last 50 or 60 years.
In the United States, particularly with the economy the way it is, there's a sense of unease about the growth of China as a superpower. Do you think Americans have a reason to feel threatened?
There are, maybe there are three big areas where Americans feel threatened: the economy, the military, and then this domain that I was just talking about of values. On the economy side of it, you know, the rise of China is something that the United States wanted and contributed to, and from which we benefit. China has become a big factor in our prosperity. We buy their products, we get profits from our investments in China. They are doing a lot of manufacturing for us at low cost, which raises our standard of living. In general, I wouldn't call it an economic threat. Then on the military side, the Chinese military remains very far behind the American military in its capability. And there's really no place for the Chinese military to expand. You know, they can't invade, you know, Japan, Russia, Central Asia, India. In 50 or 70 years, will the Chinese build their navy up and perhaps be sailing ships as close to our shores as we now do to theirs? Probably yes, but that should be manageable. And then the third area is this area of China just becoming the one that calls the tune in the global economy and in world values and is the biggest market in the world. And I think that will be a shocking change. But China will not be the only market in the world. There still is the U.S. There still is Europe. And so for many, many, many decades to come, I think that, you know, it's going to be a multipolar world, and we don't just have to be taken over by anybody else. But it does suggest that the U.S. needs to manage all of its own affairs wisely, including our economy and including our own values and how we promote those internationally.
Will the Olympics and the international attention that it brings have any lasting impact on China?
It looks like the Olympics are not going to, you know, democratize or free up China. And if there's any lasting impact, it's probably been that this tremendous security buildup, the investment in surveillance cameras and the empowerment of the police to crack down on anybody that they think might threaten them, that is going to last. And China will be less democratic and less free after the Olympics than it was before.